Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Of course, we'll need to look at the fake impeachment proceedings. I mean, constitutionally, these really can't even be called impeachment proceedings, but we'll get to that. Our theme, however, is choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, we're going to be choosing who we will serve, as it were, coming up November 2020, and it's apparent the choice is between law and lawlessness, order and chaos, power and principle, liberty and tyranny. My friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Bible thumb alert, Bible thumb alert. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And then this one, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. 1 Kings 18:21. I'll be speaking to this more fully in my Sunday evening service. We will be choosing whom we will be serving in November 2020. And it's apparent the choice is between not this man or that man, but this God or that God. The gods of our fathers, the ones they served leading to the flood, or the God of our founders. It's a choice between the Lord and Baal. I want to help you understand the distinction before us between voting personality and voting principle. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, I mentioned it's a choice between law and lawlessness, order and chaos, power and principle, liberty and tyranny, and it's a choice between sanity and lunacy. I mean, in any other time in America past, the left would be dismissed as a pack of loons. I mean, listen to these candidates and ask yourself who they're talking to. And we can't but just touch on the surface of what's going on, but I'm sure you're watching to illustrate it. I received a Bernie fundraising email appealing to his voters by offering them a sticker that says, billionaires should not exist. And this was supposed to appeal to his supporters. So that's the people he's talking to, you know. If Bernie had his way, everyone would be equally poor. We'd all live in government housing, work jobs assigned to us by the government, receive wages set by the government, have health care controlled by the government, have access to, well, no education really outside the government-controlled indoctrination camps. In other words, in Bernie's world, billionaires won't exist because, well, millionaires won't exist either. And in fact, home ownership wouldn't exist. Private ownership of business won't exist. The only rich people will be Bernie and the other politicians around him who live off the backs of the people's labor like they did in Russia for 70 years under communism. The people calling for socialism don't produce anything at all. Most of them live off the backs of the labor of the poor and keep their power by promising to take from those who produce to give to those who produce only one thing, votes for Democrats. Now here's a Bernie supporter that says Israel uses Palestinians as lab rats for experimentation. He says this with a serious face. He's a comedian, but he actually has expressed this as his belief. So, you know, if we apply what we have learned from the left, what they've taught us by their actions, then there's this rule of blaming others for what you are doing. So we should watch for news to surface before too long, exposing radical jihad-headed Muslims using Jews, people they actually refer to as rats, by the way, in their lab experiments. We already know Bernie is anti-Israeli. In fact, he's only slightly more anti-Israeli than he is anti-American. Maybe the Portland Trailblazers will run onto the court with Vote for Bernie jerseys. Maybe. At least we know they have one thing in common. Portland Trailblazers hate Israel and love her enemies. Now get this. The Portland Trailblazers, an NBA team, comes out supporting the boycott against Israel. While at the same time in Philadelphia, a couple holding a sign at an NBA game, holding a sign saying support Hong Kong freedom, well, they get the bums rush out of the stadium. So what's with the NBA? Did they learn nothing from the NFL experiment with this nonsense, this political correct nonsense? Now here's a grossly overweight liberal who blames Trump for her obesity. Yeah, she complains that she's overweight because we're in, well, the Trump era. and that her obesity is the consequence of circumstances over which she has no control. Trump's president. What can she do? She even insinuated that white people diets hurt black people. What in the world is she talking about? Lady, eat whatever you want to. And apparently that's what you've been doing. Warren wants to extend Medicare to cover transgender surgery. So that's your tax dollars at work in the hands of a Democrat. At CNN's town hall for LGBTQ issues, among other things, the town hall featured a 9-year-old transgender American. Yeah, a 9-year-old. The picture suggests this 9-year-old is a girl that decided she'd rather be a boy. And she, he, or it, whatever pronoun she wants to be called by, I guess, is surrounded. She's surrounded by insane adults who are supporting this. Now, we already know that these kids are far more likely to commit suicide. And these morons blame us because we reject the insane idea that people choose their own gender. But I blame you. Or the shoe fits type thing, you understand. I blame those encouraging this sort of confusion in our society. I mean, why don't brown-eyed people simply declare their eyes are blue or green or whatever it is that they want? That's it. Just declare it to be so. And if anyone says otherwise, punish them. Punish them for disturbing the unstable psyche of these confused people. That's it. Hey, I have a solution for that obese lady mad at Trump for making her fat. Just declare yourself to be skinny. That's it. Just say, I'm skinny. And then lobby to pass laws that require everyone around you to accept that as true about you. Then, when you shop for clothing, you tell them what size you want to see on the label for the clothing you wear. And if they don't put the correct size on that label, you sue them, man. You throw a fit because they denied who you are. In any sane world, all of this would be nonsense. And what they're doing to that child would be child abuse. I mean, it's one thing to lie to the kids about Santa Claus, but now you're just going too far. You start taking the children away from God. You start putting yourself between God and the children. Well, you know what? You step down into a whole new level of spiritual darkness and into a whole new category of rebellion against God. But that's who the Democrats are today. They are the people who endorse the gender confusion of children. They actually encourage it. These are the people who take seriously others who blame the president for being obese. These are the people who want to implement policies that encourage illegal immigration. Let's give them all welfare. Yeah, AOC. But here's the point. This insanity comes from those who reject Christ as King, who reject the Bible as their moral authority and as the moral compass for our culture. And that's the Democrat Party today. A tranny woman crashes a Democrat town hall featuring Dem presidential hopefuls about LGBTQ issues. She takes the mic from a questioner and announces that CNN has erased black transgender women. Erased them? Yeah. She said black trans women are being killed in this country, and CNN, you have erased black trans women for the last time, end quote. Then she screeched, let me tell you something. Black trans women are dying. Our lives matter. I am an extraordinary black trans woman, and I deserve to be here. My black trans sisters that are here. I am tired. I'm so tired of it's not just my black trans women. And she's going on like that, ranting. Now, to the point of all this, Don Lemon, a liberal favorite, tried to get the mic from this crazy tranny. Her name is Blossom. She calls herself Blossom. And he said, Blossom, let me tell you something. The reason that we're here is to validate people like you. Are you listening? He said, the reason we're here, the reason the Democrats are assembled here, we are here to validate people like you. That's why we're giving, but that's why we're here. And that's it, folks. The Democrat Party today exists to give voice to crazy people. Not to help them, but to use them. The tranny calls herself Blossom. As I mentioned, and she told Lemon, baby, your actions have to speak louder than words because guess what? Not one black trans woman has taken the mic tonight. Not one black trans man has taken the mic tonight. Show me. And she's going on. Lemon's pleading with this crazy, confused woman. Blossom, Blossom, okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Blossom, you're a black trans woman. You have the mic in your hand. I have taken and given it back to you. We want to hear from you. We've had trans... You understand what's going on? I hope you're hearing this. This is epically pathetic. But the Democrat Party is the party of illegal immigrants who want to come here and squat on our welfare dollars. The party of crazy people who want to blame Trump and white people food for their inability or unwillingness to lay off the Big Macs and fries. Who want to encourage 9-year-olds to think they can select their own gender. And the point is there have always been these sorts of crazy people. But the Democrat Party is so hard-pressed to find votes, they've turned that into their base. Following up on the 9-year-old transgender show, and that's what it was. And my heart breaks for that kid, by the way. She needs help. She needs help to understand, accept herself as God designed her. But following up on all that, as if it was choreographed, you know, the next question is, and Senator, a follow-up on this, do you think that religious education institutions should lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose LGBTQ rights? And then the spin spiders weave their web of deceit. He responds, as you know, 27 states, including my state of Florida, LGBTQ people can be denied service in restaurants and other public spaces based on who they love or who they're perceived to love, end quote. Yeah, you know, they love to put it like that, don't they? I mean, it's like, you know, love justifies all things, right? Muhammad, it is argued, loved 9-year-old Aisha, is that her name? The 9-year-old child that he consummated in marriage. And in the minds of many, that makes it okay. Yeah, you know, he married her at 6 years of age, I think it was, consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old. So what's love got to do with it? Absolutely nothing. It's perversity, my friend. It's not about who anyone loves. It's about violating God's order and design for marriage and procreation. God connected sex with procreation and as a mechanism by which the male and the female come together and become one. God created the man from the man. He made the woman, brought them back together to become one through the marriage bond. That serves as the means by which more men and women come into the world. Of course, it's a divinely ordained system, and it's clearly brilliant. It's unnatural for the woman to behave contrary to her nature, or for the man to behave contrary to his nature. And acting contrary to nature, quite naturally, brings all sorts of evils into the world, both physically and spiritually. I've got a list of diseases available to anyone who wants it that are directly associated with this unnatural behavior. It is insane that we have come to embrace this as part of our culture, and it will ruin us. So, the follow-up to this 9-year-old tranny, Beto was asked whether churches should lose their tax-exempt status if they refuse to affirm LGBTQ people, and that's what they require, that's what they want. Beto O'Rourke says, yes, he will go after tax exemption for religious organizations that refuse to kowtow to the political correctness crowd and yield up, give away their freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom of conscience to accommodate the disease-ridden and socially destructive agenda of the LGBTQ advocates. This is insanity. So far then, Beto has declared he will come after our defense rifles, and now religious tax exemption. The whole outrage over tax exemption for churches is a ruse, since any number of organizations are granted tax-exempt status as nonprofit organizations. Tax exemption should never be thought of as tax subsidy for that reason, and others I don't have time to go into, but will another show. People who participate in a tax-exempt organization don't lose their inalienable rights when they do so. So don't get fooled into thinking of this as churches, you know, not having the right to. It's people not being recognized as having the right to do this or that and so on. You see, American citizens who have a right to their own opinions about these things and the right to freely associate with others around these basic beliefs, these things are being violated. But there it is. It sort of completes the picture. You know, the Democrat Party is in favor of whatever is contrary to God. Trump is right when he observes that they, quote unquote, are not after him. Truth is, they're after us. They're after us specifically who acknowledge Christ as king above them and who affirm that we are all subject to his crown and authority. And so then there it is. Media clamor for impeachment, ponder death penalty for Trump. That's a headline. Death penalty? Really? Maybe these people really have gone completely over the top. They hate Trump politically. I guess I can understand that, but it goes deeper than your typical political hatred. It goes beyond anything I've ever seen. These people are viscerally afraid of Trump. And you'll get why when we come to the end of the next segment. All right, let's sum it up. The Democrat Party today is not even pretending to make any effort to appeal to the average American. They're for killing babies right up to term, taxpayer-funded abortion and transsexual surgery, welfare for illegals, promoting gender confusion to our children, and attacking the churches. They are for spurning the sacred and encouraging the perverse. And that's what you're voting for if you vote for a Democrat today. Wow. Our choice is between tyranny or liberty. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God and know that God is real.
Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, and the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Impeachment? Well, it's all happening so fast, it's hard to keep up. Behar said she thinks the reason so many continue to support Trump is that they are busy living their lives and not paying attention. She suggested that they are unlike her and others in the MSM who watch all of this closely every day, and she believes that when they stop and look at what this president has been doing, well, they're going to wake up and then change their mind about it. Another said she believed impeachment would bring the nation together, but some of the view disagreed strongly. They expressed the belief that impeachment's going to tear the country apart. I'm going to remind you about some hard facts concerning impeachment, and then show that what is going on right now is not, constitutionally speaking, impeachment. In other words, Adam Shifty is running an illegal play, and it's only a matter of time before the referees will blow the whistle on all of this and call foul. Now, there are all sorts of problems with what's going on right now. I think Jay Sekulow provided the best summary. Thing we'll look at is the law, and then we'll look at precedent. Now, as you know, Article 1, Section 2, last paragraph says, quote, "The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment," end quote. However, then according to Article 1, Section 3, impeachment must be tried by the Senate, with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court presiding the trial, and that with a stipulation that conviction requires 2/3 of the members present. Okay, so that's the law. However, there is another matter of law that we need to look at because there's some confusion over the laws governing whistleblowers. According to law, whistleblowers must have reasonable basis for their complaint. Whistleblowers are required to present information and other documents that back up their claims when filing a dispute. If it is found that they are lying, they can be subjected to criminal charges. That's why this guy secured Hillary's lawyers before proceeding with the complaint. He's an operative on that team. You'll see that. The law does not require firsthand knowledge. However, the form that's used for these complaints included a paragraph about having firsthand knowledge. Now, that form was recently revised, eliminating the question about having firsthand knowledge. Now, here's where it really gets weird. This was done very recently. The complainant in this case used the earlier form and checked the box that said, "I have personal and or direct knowledge of events or records involved," end quote. But everybody knew that was going to create a problem for him. The complainant also checked the box that says, "Other employees have told me this, that, and the other," and so on. Both boxes were checked. But then the complainant form that was released to the public, well, it was the newer form, and a statement was included in that complainant's form saying that the complainant did not have personal or direct information. And it was written in a way that is embarrassingly like legalese. I mean, in other words, nobody talks like this except lawyers. According to the version of the whistleblower form released, the whistleblower said, quote, "I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. However, I found my colleagues' accounts of these events to be credible because, in almost all cases, multiple officials recounted fact patterns that were consistent with one another." Really? Who talks like that? And it turns out that the whistleblower is a cohort of Joe Biden. It turns out the whistleblower is a CIA plant in the White House who was, by the deep state, tasked to spy on the Trump administration. The complaint was allegedly filed with Adam Shifty August 12, but we know Adam Moore's office had communication with the complainant before the complaint was submitted. He said, quote, "We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower," end quote. When the transcript of the phone call was released September 25, Adam runs out there the next day and reads a fabricated account of the phone call into the congressional record. What's he up to? You'll understand. Why did he not just read the actual transcript? He had it. In his fabricated account, he alleges that Trump asked the Ukrainian president to, now get this language, dig up dirt on Biden. Well, we've read the transcript. We know that's a lie. But many people don't bother reading the actual transcript. They hear Adam Shifty's account and it agrees with their bias, so they accept it as truth. Why didn't Adam read the actual transcript into the congressional record? Wouldn't that be what a normal person would do? An honest person, yes. When did they doctor the whistleblower's complaint? Because they didn't present the first form that was filed. They presented one anyway. And then there's this issue of the precedents, you say. According to Sekulow, The precedent is that the Congress would give the minority an opportunity to ask questions and cross-examine witnesses. But this will not be allowed by this Congress. At least it's not being allowed so far. Furthermore, and this is very important, the Constitution does not invest in a subcommittee the sole power of impeachment. It's invested in the entire House. In other words, there should be a House vote on impeachment. That's what Trump's calling for. And it should then be tried in the Senate, not in the House. So this, what's going on really isn't a constitutionally supportable action. I mean, not as an impeachment proceeding. The reason they don't put the impeachment up for a full House vote is they are sure they don't have the support they need for it, which is remarkable since the last election put the House into the hands of the Democrats, but they don't have the votes and don't want to risk going to a full vote of the House and failing. Again, remarkable since it only requires a simple majority and they have the majority right now. It's possible, however, that the Democrats don't want the matter to go to the Senate until after they have put on a spectacle and a show of trying the impeachment in the House, which isn't constitutional. It's supposed to be tried in the Senate. And or they're stringing this out to make it an election issue, and they're just hoping with fingers crossed behind their backs that the election will go their way, and then they can breathe a sigh of relief and keep all of their crimes and misdemeanors hidden, because that is really what's going on. So let's look at the articles of impeachment, shall we? We have not seen them yet. That's because they're still trying to figure out what they're going to be. I'm not kidding. They hoped the Mueller report would provide what they wanted to impeach and imploded on them. You don't hear anything about the Russia collusion issue anymore, the Mueller report or any of that, because it's attached to so many things that embarrass them. The whole thing blew up in their faces with the Russia gate and the dossier and all that. Then they tried to pin obstruction on Trump in the Russia collusion scam. Forget the Russia collusion. He tried to obstruct. Well, that also blew up in their faces. So they came up with this Ukraine conversation, but the actual transcript was released. And so that fizzled, flew around spitting like a balloon losing air. They could not find any substantial argument for quid pro quo. So they're turning their attention away from that and focusing on, once again, obstruction. They're saying that since Trump refuses to produce witnesses that they're calling for and documents that they want, he is obstructing justice. Well, the fact is, the Constitution provides for the president executive privilege in exactly these sorts of situations. The reason for these executive privileges is to protect the office of the president from political assassination attempts such as what we have before us right now. I mean, this is political assassination 101. They know the president is not obliged by law to produce witnesses or documents to them. I mean, in some ways, it's kind of like the Fifth. That might be the nearest thing I can think of off the cuff that will help you understand what's going on here. You know, protections against being compelled to self-incriminate, that kind of thing. It's similar in some ways. The idea is that without these protections, what we see happening here would be happening all the time. It would happen over and over and over until nothing would get done in government at all, because all the time would be spent on this party or the next party throwing investigation after investigation to harass the sitting president and impede him from doing his job, just out of political spite or for political expediency. Now, Adam Shifty is whining about the president impeding a co-equal branch of government from doing its constitutional duty, but that is exactly what Adam is doing, and it always works out that way. The Mueller investigation was a fake hit job of the president and failed. The allegations of obstruction in that case proved phony. The Ukrainian call proved to be a red herring, another fake accusation in which Adam actually invented a version of the phone call that never happened and lied about not talking to the whistleblower before he issued his complaint. Yeah, proved it's a lie. He said we, meaning him and his team, his office, had not talked to the whistleblower when we know for a fact that his office had contact with him anyway. So the executive privilege President Trump is exercising is constitutional. And he's using it in exactly the way the founders envisioned it would be used, to protect one equal branch of government from interference and harassment from another equal branch of government. So it can go to the third branch for adjudication. That's right. Now listen to this. There's a third branch, you know. And in the past, when this kind of contest has come up, it's been thrown to the court to decide. If Shifty's concerned the president is abusing his power, well, he can do what others have done before him and appeal to the court, but he doesn't. Why? Well, because this is a political hit job. It has nothing to do with legal issues. It's about politics. And when you dig into this, Here's what you find out. And I got to close, but remember, in the transcript of the phone conversation between Trump and President of Ukraine, the Ukrainian president mentions his appreciation to Trump for exposing to him, bringing his attention to, the corruption of the former American ambassador to Ukraine. Her name is Marie Yovanovitch. And he said she was bad news. That was what the transcript said. And now she's being called, of course, by the Dems to testify before the impeachment committee. Having been fired by Trump, it's interesting. But an Obama appointee, it's interesting. You want to know why there's no way Adam is going to allow the minority to ask questions? Or you put Yovanovitch on the stand. You don't want her getting asked questions. You want to know what Trump was talking about when he said to the Ukrainian president that she is bad news? You know, it turns out that she was Obama's appointed ambassador and that she was obstructing justice. That's right. Yovanovitch refused visas to Ukrainian officials who wanted to come to America to present proof of corruption in the Obama administration. But she wouldn't let him go. She wouldn't let him have visas. Misconduct in relations with Ukraine in the Obama administration. Also to obstruct exposure that, quote, a Clinton surrogate made a trip to the Ukraine in 2016 in order to get dirt on Donald Trump or members of his campaign, end quote. Now, shortly after this trip, they released their fake information implicating Paul Manafort in crimes. And we know that shortly after Joe visited Ukraine, remember that? His son landed a huge $600,000 per year job in a position he has absolutely no qualifications to hold. And we know Joe boasted that he got the prosecutor in Ukraine fired when he threatened to hold back funding authorized by the Congress for Ukraine. Now listen, now you understand why they're working so hard to invent, to fabricate a case that Trump was withholding military aid to Ukraine as leverage to pressure Ukraine to dig up dirt on Biden. It all begins to become clear. And that's why Adam used that language. That's why he read it into the record. These are clever liars, but they are up against something they're not ready for. And I'll talk about that in my service for Sunday, early evening service tomorrow. At the Lighthouse Baptist Church, in other words, the usual 5 p.m. service is going to be held early at 1:30 p.m. I'm going to be flying out to South Carolina Sunday night, but I will be home Thursday. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now, you let me know you see they're on. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Call 1-805-314-2114 or go to our website, brainmassage.net, and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
A lighthouse provides a guiding light through darkness. That's why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit Lighthouse Baptist Church. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Tune in Saturday at 12 noon